The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. King Herod heard of Jesus, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John and bound him and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and first leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it. And he solemnly swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? She replied, the head of John the Baptizer. Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply grieved. Yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. I invite the young folks to come forward for the children's message. Good morning. Good morning. Getting one response, huh? Are you awake? Huh? I brought with me a thing that sort of is going to work as an image for what was in the first reading. The prophet talked about God making a plumb line. Well, a plumb line is a piece of string with a weight attached to the bottom of this. And carpenters use that to make sure that when they build a building, it's square. If it's not square, it will have a tendency to fall over. So they use a line like this. And oftentimes this line is coated with like some blue chalk, and you can just tap this line and that blue chalk forms, and so you can see that it's a straight line. Sometimes it's said, is the building square or is it plumb? That's what they mean by that. Is it straight? Because the plumb line will show you if it's crooked. And on my plumb line, what I've used as a weight is a scrub brush. Because I think that's really what the prophet Amos was saying that needed to be done in the society that he prophesied in. He said that they needed to clean up their ways. They needed to clean up the ways they treated people, and particularly the way they treated the poor and those who were disadvantaged. So he called them to clean up the society. And if we feel that, can you feel that, Clara? It's a little rough. And Amos's message was a little rough to people. They didn't like it. And so another prophet told him to leave the country, which he did. But God was still at work with that plumb line, and the people still faced God's judgment. We'll hear a little bit more about that story in the sermon today. So listen to see how it comes out, okay? Thanks for coming up today. In the midst of a power struggle, the first victim is usually the truth. By now, if you've watched local TV, you know that the key issue in the campaign for United States Senator from Indiana is which candidate has hired the most foreign workers. Well, the truth is, we need more workers. It obscures the truth. The last figure I saw was that there were 85,000 jobs in Indiana that were unfilled. Nobody's mentioning that. And the problem is we need trained and skilled workers to fill all the jobs that we have. But in the ads, the underlying message to all those ads is the question of loyalty. Which person is really the loyal American? Now, God's expectations of civil authorities is that they rule with truth and justice. When they do not rule in this way, they face the consequences of God's judgment. The vision that Amos saw of a plumb line measuring Jeroboam's rule over Israel shows the crookedness, the corruption of his reign, that he is ruling far from God's truth and justice. Now, it should be noted that Jeroboam's rule was a time of great prosperity in Israel, and it was a time of relative peace, things for which most people would have looked at and said, it's fine. But when Amos held God's plumb line up against that kingdom, that rule, it wasn't fine. This vision was God's calling to Amos to proclaim the word of the Lord. This word and calling drew Amos into conflict with the civil authorities. Just as Amos' witness was seen as a threat to the ruling authorities, so sometimes our witness of God's truth and justice can be seen as a threat. Often it becomes a question of loyalty. When John proclaimed the word of the Lord, he proclaimed repentance for the baptism, repentance of sins for a baptism of forgiveness. And this was a threat to Herod, because Herod wanted to live his life his own way. He didn't want any accountability, and specifically, John the Baptist held him accountable for marrying his brother's wife. When Herod heard Jesus' call to repentance, for the kingdom of God has come near, he saw that John the Baptist was alive again. In order to increase his own power and prestige, on his own birthday, for his own glory, Herod chose to bring John the Baptist's head on a platter, a visible sign of the corruption of that order. And the gospel writer Mark seems to place this story in its context to raise the question, if Herod does this to John the Baptist, what's going to happen to Jesus? When Jesus does show up in this power struggle, his word is far more gracious and inviting. Instead of revenge and seeking Herod's head on a platter, Jesus suffers and dies and gives us himself on a platter. His body and blood given for us, given to us to redeem us from all the sin and evil in the world, to place a claim on our lives that we do not belong to that corruption, but instead we belong to God's truth and justice. In his suffering, death, and resurrection, Jesus joins himself with all the victims of tyrants of every age. He claims them and us in a victory that gives life and not death. In him, God reigns. God's reign of truth and justice is established. It is to this kingdom that we owe our allegiance. It is to this kingdom established by the cross that we owe our very lives. To civil authorities of all persuasions, we must say, we do not belong to you, be their name Trump or Obama. Our ultimate loyalty is to Christ and to his church. We are first and foremost of all citizens of the kingdom of God. To those who seek their own glory, we must continually say, seek truth and justice, and do not pervert that. When you do that, we will support you. And when you do not do that, we will oppose you. We seek not our own glory, but we seek simply to praise and give glory to the one who has redeemed us for all eternity, whose glorious grace is freely bestowed and given to all people. My brothers and sisters in Christ, these words bear some danger with them. Because just as Amos' words, just as John the Baptist's words, any words that call people to account to God's plumb line may seem treasonous, may seem like you're not with us. They may seem like you're opposed. And in many cases, we are opposed to those things that violate God's truth and justice. Our actions do have consequences, both short-term and long-term. And we need to remember who holds the future, who holds our future. For Amos, his words opposing the decadent opulism, the immorality and the smug piety of the elites of his day meant that he was exiled out of Israel, back to Judah. And he continued to speak words, and people wrote them down, and we have them today. And they continually to confront us and leaders of the world with God's desire for the care for the poor and those who underserved. As for Jeroboam and his kind, well, that society continued on for a couple of decades. Seemed to be going fine. And then the Assyrians came in and wiped them out, took their leaders into exile, and they've never been heard from again. The contrast is, we hear the words of Amos. The others are not heard from ever again. John the Baptist lost his head. It was indeed a sacrifice of his life, the sacrifice of his life to proclaim that plumb line of God. And Herod, who did that? Well, he was subject to a higher authority too, a higher authority in Rome that got tired with his leadership, disgusted with it. They disliked his bloody battle with his brother, and tired of his terrible leadership. And they sent him and his wife off to exile, never to be heard from again. We honor John the Baptist as the one who prepared the way for our Savior. And we still hear his call to repentance. And Pilate, well, Pilate's dead, but Jesus lives. Hallelujah. We are called to live for the praise of his glory. Amen.